14th century, a man by the name of Thomas Hermerkin, better known to the world as Thomas a Kempis, entered a monastery in 1399 and proceeded to stay in that monastery for a mere 72 years. He was there as a spiritual advisor. He was there known as a preacher, but primarily he was known as a writer of devotional literature. And one of his books has been available to this day, a devotional classic entitled The Imitation of Christ. I thought it wise, as we are about the process of setting you aside for spiritual service, to share with you some of Thomas a Kempis's insights into spiritual development based on a section of his classic, The Imitation of Christ, a section known as Lovers of the Cross Are Few. Hear this great writer's basic fundamentals. Begin with this, he said. Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate the inner life. Very few people are naturally spiritually gifted. Virtually all of us have to work at it. And yet our Lord promises that He will come into our lives, fill our hearts, set up household within us. However, Kempis noted, when our Lord comes into our hearts, He often finds our household so cluttered that there's not much room for Him amidst our variety of priorities. Cultivate the inner life in such a way that you make room for Christ, that He becomes to dominate the household of your life and thus dominates your thoughts, your behavior, your every word. Thomas a Kempis said something that I go back to time and again. We know best those with whom we commune most. We know best those with whom we commune most. And when we set aside time for communion with the Savior who promises to come into our household, our hearts become more and more filled with His presence, and His influence pervades all of our being. Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate a spirit of humility. I think, well, that's pretty easy, because we all think we're pretty humble already. But Thomas a Kempis notes that what we call humility is mostly an attempt to mask our pride. True humility is hard to attain. It's even hard to define. But it begins with this insight. The humble person regards everyone else as someone he or she can serve. We are everyone else's servant. And if everyone becomes our master in some sense, and we become servants, then everyone becomes a prism of God's presence to us. Truth is, some of the things you're called to do as spiritual leaders are pretty high profile and prominent. Many of them are going to strike you as just tedious, onerous, busy work, even things that run against your grain. Cultivating the spirit of humility allows you to do the big jobs and the little jobs, the pleasant jobs and the unpleasant jobs, recognizing that they are acts of service unto the Christ. Cultivate the inner life, cultivate a spirit of humility, and cultivate a peaceable spirit. A person who has a peaceable spirit does more good even than a person of great knowledge. A person with a peaceable spirit brings calm to every situation of turmoil. of course, the peaceable spirit begins by creating peace within yourself. There are people you're going to find, even in the family of God, who are quick to believe the worst about everyone. But a person with a peaceable spirit is not suspicious of motives. They're innately gracious. When you develop a peaceable spirit, you recognize that you have to bear with everyone because you realize they have to bear with you. Now, the truth is, living in a peaceable manner with peaceable people is pretty easy. But this is a newsflash. Not everyone you're going to serve and meet is going to have a peaceable spirit. Some of their spirits are going to be very troubled. Remember this. The troublesome people that you work with, that you serve, reflect a troubled spirit. Their external turmoil reflects internal turmoil within them. But you, with a spirit of peace, can bring calm to their turmoil if you maintain a peaceable spirit in all things. Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate humility. Cultivate a peaceable spirit. And cultivate the virtues of purity and simplicity. Purity and simplicity, Thomas A. Kempis says, are the wings by which we soar above the earth. As church leaders, always ask two questions, two guiding principles. Is what I am doing consonant with the will of God? Is what I am doing going to build the fellowship of the family of God? If we can boil everything down to those two principles, it gives us guidance. A pure heart penetrates heaven and hell. Purity of motive inwardly, simplicity of action outwardly, allows us to minister to those in need. Simplicity and purity, wings that lift our souls. And be slow to judge. Thomas Kim, are you looking for spiritual fundamentals? Be slow to judge. We all know people who are almost always misconstruing reality. We all know people who get things wrong all the time. But sometimes we don't realize we're guilty of exactly the same thing. Sometimes we're quick to judge the faults of others when we excuse far greater character flaws in our own soul. Be slow to judge. Think about how quickly others are to take offense by reflecting on how quickly sometimes you and I take offense when we're slighted. Thomas A. Kempis offers this extraordinary advice. The more time we spend focusing on our own imperfections, our own flaws, our own weaknesses, the more time we invest in addressing those flaws and imperfections and weaknesses, the less time we have to look at the imperfections of others. The more we concentrate upon our own need to grow, the less energy we have to focus upon the needs others need to grow. Be slow to judge. And cultivate the joy of a good conscience. Cultivate the joy of a good conscience. If you know that what you are doing is pure in motive, then you aren't tied to the result Thomas A. Kempis, with great insight, notes, not everything we try in ministry works. Often we try to do good, and sometimes in doing good, we even do harm. But if we have purity of motive, if we know we're trying to do right, we know, and we know God knows it, then success doesn't inflate us very much, and failure doesn't deflate us very much. A good conscience protects us against vanity and depression. Not everything we try works in ministry. Not every overture you make becomes fruitful. There are going to be times when you think, what I'm doing is useless and futile. But if you have the virtue of a good conscience, God will refresh you and bring you meaning in good times and bad. Above all, says Thomas A. Kempis, cultivate the love of Christ. Cultivate the love of Christ. He makes an observation which every spiritual servant knows. Spiritual service unto others, as you pour yourself out for others, can make you dry inside. Spiritual service can dry up your own soul. The defense against that is cultivating the love of Christ, who continues to replenish and renourish you even as you give yourself out to others. And understand, in our spiritual maturity, it's not one smooth upward climb. It's a Dow Jones of moments on the mountaintop and time in the valley, ecstasy and agony, success and dejection. But remember this, our God is always faithful. Winter will give way to spring and summer. Despair will give way to hope. Sorrow will give way to joy. Cultivate the joy of Christ, and even in those moments when your soul is dry, God will begin to fill you up again with His assurance. Lovers of the cross are few. Everyone enjoys the Easter joy. Not everyone embraces the Lenten discipline. The church is full to capacity on Christmas Eve. Not so many people show up on Good Friday. Lovers of the cross are few. Thomas A. Kempis said, you know, our Lord means what He says. If we try, even in spiritual life, to do it for our benefit, we're going to lose our own identity. We're going to lose who we're meant to be. But when we lose our lives in the service of the Christ who calls us, in the ministry of the people of God, we find our true identity. I always remind deacons on their ordination day, the first deacon was stoned to death. So it's not a very auspicious beginning. And yet he was stoned to death because of the quality of his faith. May the quality of your faith find nurture and encouragement and refreshment as you give yourself away, as you give yourself as a servant, as you shoulder your cross, embracing the cross of the Christ. May God grant you your true identity, as God's people and God's servants. Lovers of the cross are few, but in the cross, there's the truth of what it means to be Christ's child.